Let's turn today to John chapter 3. Probably after the 23rd Psalm, one of the favourite passages of our Bible, John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And I'm sure God blesses us as we read his word together. Now, what I'm concentrating on today are the two words, born again. Born again. I don't know about you, but I like words. I remember as a boy going to school, our head teacher set up a small library because he wanted to encourage the pupils there, once they got to a certain age, to read. It's by reading that we get to know things. It's by reading that we get to understand things. Recently in these days, I've taken to reading detective, thriller, crime novels, and I really enjoy them. I'm always amazed at certain people, certain authors, the way they're able to use words, and sometimes the minimum of words, just to express things and to explain things. It's really an art in itself. Although some people today, they make their living out of words. I don't know who it was that invented Scrabble, but they must have made quite a pretty penny from Scrabble, because I understand these days that you have Scrabble clubs, and there are many people who still enjoy Scrabble, from the youngest right to the oldest. Now, I must confess that one of my favourite television programmes is Countdown. And I enjoy competing with the contestants, although I've never ever dared try to enter into it myself. It's interesting, isn't it, that words can praise and words can condemn. We have good words and we have bad words. We have words that can give offence. And we have words that really make you feel good. Words can be funny. I don't know about you, but I don't know whether I've got a warped sense of humour or not, but I find sometimes the use of words to be quite funny. For instance, I remember just over a year ago, the jockey Willie Carson was quite seriously ill. And so when his illness was reported in television, remember Willie Carson, the jockey, horses, he was reported to be in a stable condition. Good choice of words, eh? A stable condition. I don't know if you know Linlithgow, for instance, but Linlithgow has an undertaker, and his name is Thomas Grieve. Well named, eh? But perhaps one of the funniest, if it wasn't so serious, in the recent financial disaster and climate. Did you notice the man in America, Bernard Madoff? Do you know that name? Have you seen it in television? Bernie Madoff. I can't understand how people in the news can come across that without laughing. Because when I heard it, I thought it was hilarious. Now, what do you think when you hear about Madoff? You think of somebody running off with the spoils, don't you? And Bernie Madoff certainly made off with loads of money that wasn't his own. And Mr. Madoff these days is under trial and can look forward to many years in prison because of what he's done. Well named indeed, Madoff. But what about born again? A few years ago, this was a common term when people were talking about Christians. And they distinguished Christians by calling them born again Christians. Being brought up in a Christian home and going to Sunday school and being involved in preaching for many, many years, the term born again to me is very familiar. But it struck home one Sunday morning when I was just outside Dublin and I'd been preaching there, and at the end of the service I went to shake hands with people as they went. And this lady said to me going out, she said, "Are you a born again Christian?" And I thought to myself, now that's strange. I've never ever been asked that before. I've been asked many times, "Are you a Christian?" But never ever asked, "Are you a born again Christian?" It was only afterwards that I realised that a lot of the language of the south of Ireland is very much American. And that was the end thing at that time, to distinguish people as born again Christians. It's interesting how these words are used in our own language. I don't know if any of you fellas are interested in football or not. Maybe the St Mirren supporters are after that marvellous result the other week there. But sometimes you'll get in the headlines in the newspaper, so-and-so born again. And what they're trying to say is this, that this particular footballer has taken off a few pounds in weight, has honed himself up, and is back again to where he was these years ago when he was making the headlines. And to distinguish this new lease of life, the newspaper reporters cast him as born again. Just a few years ago, you might remember an advertising campaign run by Volkswagen. And they were going to change the design of the Volkswagen Golf. And in their advertising spiel, They called it the born again golf. New design, new everything. And so it seems that this biblical term is being used in a quite right sense, talking of being made new, new life, a new start. But our authority for the use of the words born again are found here in John's Gospel in chapter 3. Now the interesting thing about John's Gospel chapter 3 is this, that in the discourse that follows from Jesus' meeting with Nicodemus, you come to a point where it's not really distinguishable what are Jesus' words and what is the Apostle John's commentary on Jesus' words. But there is enough evidence to realise that the person who used these words to Nicodemus was the Lord Jesus himself. And it's interesting in the context of John's Gospel that this is the second time he's talked about being born in the spiritual sense, because he tells us about that in chapter 1, where he talks about people being named the children of God. But what about this term born again? Well, one or two things I want to leave with you. First of all, this. In the spiritual sense, as it applies to you and me, it's not turning over a new leaf. It's not turning over a new leaf. Because there are many people trying to do that every New Year when they make up their New Year resolutions, and God doesn't come into it at all. What they're trying to do is of their own volition, their own power, their own will. Now there's nothing wrong with people trying to turn over a new leaf. Nothing wrong with that at all. In fact, there's a non-smoking campaign going on at in the television at the moment, and there's a Scotsman appears, and his words are pretty gruff, but very much to the point, where he came to the point where he decided no more, and he seems to be getting on with life. And there are many people like that. There's a certain aspect of their lives that they don't like, and so they decide to change their lifestyle. They turn over a new leaf, and that's praiseworthy. But what we're talking about here, being born again, is not that. What we're talking about here, being born again, is about God's intervention in our life. It's about a work of God. It's about what God does. In other words, it's God who gives us new life. It's God who makes us anew. For instance, the Apostle Paul realized that. And as you think of his amazing conversion, he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So this is about God working in our lives. This is about God making us anew. And the only people who can claim to be God's children are those who have experienced this new birth. Now the amazing thing to me in the Bible and in this passage in John's Gospel is that Jesus says this to a religious man. In the next chapter in John's Gospel, we are introduced there to a woman. A woman whose sin was evident in the community where she lived, and in a sense, she was ostracized by her community. But the message that Jesus has about new birth comes to a man who was religious and seemed to be religious, and was one of the leaders of the Jewish religion at that time. And although it's good to be religious, being religious is not a substitute for being born again. We're talking here about a work of God. And being born again, you see, is about new life and is about eternal life. Did you notice what we were reading? As Jesus says to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he will never see the kingdom of God. And then he repeats it with a difference. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter, be part of the kingdom of God. Now there's one thing certain about this world, and it's this. In certain areas of our world, we can see the kingdom of God at work. In the lives of individuals, we can see the kingdom of God at work. In your life, the kingdom of God might be at work, where Jesus Christ is King, and you worship God. God is in control. That's where the kingdom of God is. But there will come a time when that kingdom of God will be expressed in a new heaven and a new earth. And it's that Jesus is referring to here. Unless one is born anew, born again, we won't even see it, and no way will we enter into it. So this is pretty serious. You see, this is more serious than the type of cereal you have for your breakfast. Or what kind of fish supper you choose when you go to the takeaway. This is more serious about than expressing your favourite colour or whatever. This has to do with life and death and eternity. And that's the reason, you see, Jesus says to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now Nicodemus didn't understand this, because like many of us, the last thing we ever think is that God must play a part in our lives to make us acceptable to Him. We think we're all right as it is. We think we'll pass the exam without any problem. And we can rhyme off different things that we do. And we can rhyme off certain individuals that we're no like. That really God should accept us because of who we are. But that doesn't work. And it's interesting when it comes to that point that we are introduced to a story from the Old Testament about people who were dying and received life. And of course it was the story from the Old Testament, the children of Israel in the wilderness, and because of their sin, God had sent into the camp fiery serpents, and then Moses was told to put a serpent on a pole, a serpent of brass, and raise it up. And the call went to all the people, if you want to live, you've got to look to the serpent. Look and live. And then comes these amazing words. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes, whoever looks to Him, might have eternal life. And then that amazing theological expression, for God loved the world so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In other words, here, before the cross had actually happened, is this prophetic word about Jesus dying on that cross, and the fact that he's dying there for us, for you and for me, so that this new life, this new birth can be ours, through looking to him, through believing in him. Back to that statement in John chapter 1, where it talks for the first time about birth, it says this: as many as received him, as many as looked to him, as many as believed in him, to them he gave the right to be the children of God. And the children of God are those who have been born again. The children of God are those who have new life. The children of God are those who are looking forward to Jesus' return, when God's kingdom will be introduced in its fullness, and then for all eternity we'll enjoy the wonder of God being God and Jesus Christ being Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Hence the emphasis: you must be born again. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for the opportunity of meeting again. Thank you, Lord, for your help in us praising and singing these lovely hymns. Thank you, Father, for the children in their classes as well, as they understand more of your word, and just help them to take it in, Father, and when they're asked to believe, so they'll be able to do so. And bless us, Father, those of us who are born again. We thank you, Lord, for that moment when we saw our need, and you didn't disappoint, and you brought new life to us. Thank you, Lord, for that moment when Jesus died on the cross, died there on our behalf, died there to bear away our sin, to make us fit for your kingdom. May it be, Lord, that every one of us are depending on Christ's death for our eternal salvation. May it be, Lord, that every one of us are born again. So bless us, and bless your church today as it ministers throughout this world. Your gift to the world, Father, was your Son and your church. And bless your church, Father, as it ministers Christ to meet the needs of our world today. Bless all who have a place in our prayers, we ask, as we bring our thanks and our praise in Jesus' name. Amen.